You can take your Bibles tonight, and we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6. Tonight I'm going to be sharing on the armor of God. The armor of God. And in Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Right? Finally, it's the conclusion or the culmination of all of the great doctrine given in Ephesians. Right? Finally, after all this great doctrine, be strong in ourselves, right? Yeah. And how cool we are, and how smart we are. No, it says to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, right? It's the power of God's might that we can be strong in. We don't have to be weak. We don't always feel very strong, but thank God that it's not about us, right? Our strength comes from the Lord. Right? And in the power of His might. And that power of His might could be translated the strength of His ability. We can be strong in the strength of His ability. Right? A lot of times we don't have the ability to figure it out ourselves or to accomplish it on our own. But with God, we have the strength of His ability, which is bigger than any situation or any circumstance. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, right? Not just a little bit of it, not 50% of it, not even 95% of it, but the whole armor of God. And it says that we're to put it on, right? That takes a decision, that takes action, that takes us deciding to do something. Right, every day in the morning, you get up and you put on your clothes for the day, right? You have to decide to do that. You can walk outside in your pajamas if you want, or you have to decide that you're going to put on clothes, right? You have to put on those clothes. Well, we have to put on the armor of God, right? It's a decision that we have to make in our own lives. Put it on that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he's a wily one, right? He's a wily one. He's a crafty and deceitful one, right? But the idea is if we put on this armor, we'll be able to stand against him. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or from on high. So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? It's not a physical warfare that we fight, right? The adversary is the one pulling the strings. Instead, it's against spiritual wickedness. It's a spiritual battle. We're not putting on physical armor, right? I'm not getting up in the morning and throwing on my chainmail for the day, but I am putting on the armor of God, so that I can withstand the adversary. Verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. So again, it's the whole thing, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, that's this present day, and having done all, to what?
Stand.
Do you think God wants us to stand? Right? It's in there three times from 11 to 13. Right? He wants us to stand against the wiles of the devil. He wants us to be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Right? We don't need physical armor because our battle isn't against physical opponents. It's not. Even when it feels that way, right? Even if there is, you know, terrible people in this world, right? The adversary is the one pulling the strings, right? that's what we have to realize, that it is a spiritual battle. He's the one pulling the strings. So we put on armor, this armor of God, which he's going to tell us about, so that we can stand against his strategies. That's how we take a stand, right? The strategies of the adversary, we can take a stand against them with this armor. Verse 14, here we go again. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. In Bible times, this thing was like wearing a belt, right? That's what it would be to girt yourself about. Clothing would be ungirded if you were just at home, you know, in leisure time. You know, they often wore long tunics. And it would just kind of be hanging down there and you'd be chilling around the house. But if you had to do something, if you had to get work done, if you had to prepare for an activity, you would gird up. You'd take that front part of the tunic and you'd tuck it into like a belt area so that you could have more freedom of movement, that you could be able to be ready to take on that activity or that work, right? So that's what they did. We don't wear tunics today, so, you know, it's a little harder to understand. But that's the visual that God is giving here. It's in preparation for work or some other activity, right? When I go out and I either do, like I went to the property with Cree this weekend, and he and I and a bunch of guys got the playground surface redone. And we moved like 8 cubic yards of dirt, and we spread 12 cubic yards of mulch. And I brought my weight belt, because a long time ago I threw out my back and I have a herniated disc and I don't want to get injured again. So I put on my weight belt and it just kind of keeps everything there tucked in and tight, right? That's what it's for. It's supportive. It supports me physically. Well, it says here that having your loins girt about with what?
Truth.
Not a weight belt, but with truth. With truth. Right? And so God's word is the truth, right? John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Right? So God's word, the truth, is our foundation. It's what supports us spiritually, right? It's what supports us, like that weight belt supports me physically. It's what supports us spiritually, right? So God is saying, when we take a stand, the first thing we need to think about is having ourselves supported with the truth of his word, okay? We need to have that truth at the ready. They would gird up their loins to be at the ready for that activity. We don't go there, but 1 Peter 3:15 says to be ready always to give an answer, right? To any man who has a question about your salvation, right? What blesses you? Why your life is such a blessing, right? Why you have such deliverance in your life? We're to be ready with that word, right? We're to be ready with that word. And when Jesus Christ was being tempted of the adversary, how did he respond in every case?
With the word.
With the word. It is written, right? Every answer started with, it is written. He had it at the ready. He knew what the word of God said for every situation, right? He had it at the ready. That's part of our armor of God, right? Is the truth. Verse 14 again. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, like you're wearing a belt, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, right? Breastplates are the top part of the armor. If you ever like look at Roman soldiers or knights from the medieval times, the big metal armor. They'd have breastplates on, right? Big metal breastplates. And those guarded your chest, right? Your main torso section of your body, right? And that's where your heart is, right? The breastplate of righteousness, right? We don't want to forget that we're righteous. That's part of the armor of God. Remembering our righteousness is part of that armor. It's what helps us take a stand. It's what helps us take a stand. The adversary is always going to want to attack who you are in Christ, right? That's one of the main fundamental things the adversary tries to attack and talk believers out of, who they are in Christ. He doesn't want people to know Romans 10, 9 and 10. He doesn't want them to know it's Christ in them, right? He messed up when he killed Jesus Christ. Now there's Jesus Christ in all of us. So he wants us to forget that. He doesn't want us to remember that, right? So we respond with righteousness, right? We put it on. We wear it proudly. In 1 John 3:21, it says, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God, right? Our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God, right? So if we believe that we're righteous, then we won't condemn ourselves, right? If we believe we're righteous, then there's no condemnation. Because for us to be righteous means that God sees us that way, right? He sees us, it's our ability to come before God without any sense of guilt, sin, shortcoming, or condemnation. That's how God sees you, so that's how we should see ourselves. And if we see ourselves that way, then our heart won't condemn us. And then we have confidence in God, right? So we're to put that on. We're to wear it proudly. So in order for us to take a stand, we have to have that belt of truth, right? Not get caught with our pants down, but know that we have truth and we can respond with it. And that our heart's protected with that breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And the word shod is the word bound. So what do you put on your feet? What do you put on your feet every day? Holden!
Shoes!
Shoes! That's right. Shoes! Right? We want to put on, in this case, our shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. And the gospel of peace refers to the good news that brings together Jews and Gentile into the one body. Right? That's why it's called the gospel of peace. Like if you look at the records in Ephesians and Romans that talk about the gospel of peace, it's about how there is no separation anymore. It's not Jew or Gentile. It's Church of God, right? It's all one body. We've been brought together, you know, the twain made one, right? And it's the gospel, right? What Jesus Christ accomplished, telling people what he gave his life for, right? And that he's raised again from the dead so that they can believe it, that brings that about, right? So what we need to have on our feet, if you will, is the gospel of peace. It's an outreach thing, right? And when you think about what do your feet do? They get you from here to there. They take you places, right? You walk on your feet. That's right. You walk on your feet. It gets you from here to there. That your feet take you places, right? So you move out with your feet. And what God is kind of making an analogy here is that we want to move out with the word, right? We want to tell people about what Jesus Christ accomplished for their lives, how much God loves them, right? We want to get other people born again so that they can be part of this great family and this great body as well. So one of the ways that we take a stand against the adversary is by moving the word, by being witnesses, by telling people how to get born again and how much God loves them, right? That's one of the ways that we take a stand. Because guess what? Every person who gets born again is another person where it's Christ in them, right? And that's just one more person that the adversary has to worry about holding forth the word, believing and making a difference where they are, right? So part of that armor is speaking the word, moving it, outreach. Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith, with that shield of faith, you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Right? And the word faith there is pistis. The shield of faith. The shield of pistis. And pistis is the right way of believing. The right way of believing. And in those times, in biblical times, most of the time, unless it was like a huge military power like the Romans that came later, their shields were big wooden, like, rectangles or circles, right? And so when the archers would fire arrows at them, a regular wooden shield would block an arrow, but if that arrow was on fire, it would torch the shield, right? So they started, in order to get past the arrows that were blocked, or the shields that were blocking all the arrows, they got smart and they started lighting the arrows on fire. So in order to prevent that, they started soaking the shields in water, right? To quench the fiery darts. So that's the analogy here, that our believing is that shield that protects us from the stuff the adversary is trying to throw at us, okay? Believing snuffs out everything the devil's aiming your way. It's our shield. If you believe God and what he says and you claim what the promises that are in his word, then the devil can't touch you, right? The devil can't touch you. You'll quench those fiery darts. And we build our believing by saturating our minds with the word, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Word of God, Romans 10:17, right? So if we need to build our believing to that point where we really, really believe it, then we need to saturate our minds with the word to get it to that point. And then once we start believing the word, right, and we have great confidence in it, and we think it's truer than all the facts and all the things that appear to be true, right, that's when we can take a stand. That's when it'll shield us from the junk the adversary's throwing at us. And we just have to believe, and we have to walk out on it. Right? Like the other day, I went to go see my house set, get set on Wednesday, and we have a truck that we bought from Jess's father's business that had a snow plow on it. And I wanted to bring it over to the property and drop the plow there because I wouldn't need it till next winter, and obviously have to get out of our rental soon. So I was like, I'll drive the truck over there to see the house. I'll just drop the plow at the property and leave it there. And I start heading down the highway on Route 18, and I'm driving, the car's doing fine, I'm speaking in tongues and just so blessed to go see the house. And all of a sudden the thermometer, you know, on the dashboard that tells you how hot it is outside, it was like 60 degrees. And then I looked down a little bit later and it was 70 degrees. And then I looked down a little bit later and it was 95 degrees. And I was like, I don't think it's 95 degrees outside. And it got to the point where the thermometer said it was like 130 something degrees outside. And I was like, this is not good. And I was like, something must be wrong with the car. And I get onto 138 and I'm driving, and then I start to see the temperature gauge on the dash start creeping up. So I was like, okay, the car is definitely starting to overheat. And I was like, I don't have time for this. I've got to get to this. I got to drop this plow, and I've got to leave the truck there. I have to leave the truck there. I don't want to miss the house set. I was so excited to go see the house. And so I just prayed, and God showed me that it was the fact that the plow was on the front of this truck that was the problem. There wasn't enough air getting into the radiator because I had a big wall blocking the thing. So I just said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you have to stop this. You have to take the temperature down. And I just kept repeating it. I probably said it 10 times, and all of a sudden the temperature gauge just went back to normal. And it just sat there in the center. And I made it the whole way, and everything was fine. But like, I just had to believe that God was going to get me there. The circumstances said, this truck's gonna overheat and I'm gonna be stuck on the side of the road, I'm gonna be screwed, I'm gonna have to get a tow, and who knows how they do that when you have a big plow on the front of your truck. But I got there and the truck was fine, and we drove it home, and it was 60 degrees the whole way home. Everything was good once the plow was off of it, right? So I just had to believe that God was gonna take care of the situation, because I had no other choice, right? I had no other choice. And the adversary was just trying to throw something at me, right? Here was a day that I was supposed to go and rejoice and be so excited about this house. You know, the whole project's been a bit of a struggle, and it was just another thing, right? And I was like, no, we're not going to have it, right? And so that believing becomes that shield, right? That when he tries to throw something your way, that you're okay with it. Verse 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Right? So the first part of that verse, take the helmet of salvation. Salvation here is the word for deliverance, right? For deliverance. And it can refer to not only our salvation, like our hope, right? The hope of Christ's return, but our deliverance that's available through God. I'll answer your question later, okay? So our helmet is both the deliverance that God provides now, and it's the hope that we have of Christ's return when we're delivered from this present evil world, right? That's what guards our heads, right? We put on that helmet, and it helps keep our noggins okay, right? Because sometimes we can get really stirred up in our minds, and sometimes we can start to freak out a little bit. But we can focus on the hope, and we can focus on the deliverance that God's made available to us today, right here in this present world, right? And all of these items so far are defensive, protective items, right? The breastplate, the helmet, the shield, our belt, our shoes, right? And so then God in the second part of the verse says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, right? So now God adds in our offensive weapon, right? Our way to fight back. The sword of God, which is his word, right? And the word of God is compared in Hebrews 4:12 to a sword, right? The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any what? Two-edged sword, right? It's alive, it's powerful, it's sharp. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says that we're supposed to study that word to show ourselves approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing that word of truth, right? A straight cutting, right? God wants us to know his word. He wants us to understand it, to study it to the point that we really know it, because it's how we fight back, right? It's how we answer the adversary. It's how we, you know, take a stand against the stuff that he's trying to do, is with that word of God. And then verse 18, although not compared to any piece of armor here, it's kind of the conclusion of the whole set, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, and thereunto means in this very thing, watching in this very thing, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, right? And prayer is another huge way to stand against the adversary, right? Praying always, you know, pray without ceasing, the Word of God says. Prayer is so vitally important to our walk with God. It's literally our talk with God, right? When you say you walk and talk with God, the talk part is praying. That's all praying is talking with God, having a conversation with him, right? We're not supposed to just sit there and say these repetitive, predetermined prayers. God wants a relationship with us. He wants us to come to him and have a real conversation about the things we're thankful for and the things we need help with and the things that we want, you know, to take care of in other people's lives and pray for their stuff, right? So prayer is a big part of all of this. And it says also prayer and supplication in what? The Spirit. In the Spirit. And that's speaking in tongues, right? Which is perfect prayer. So prayer and speaking in tongues does so much for our own lives and for one another. Right? James 5:16, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, which means it's a force, right? It's a force. It accomplishes great things. That's what availeth much means. So when we pray a lot, it's effectual. It works. When we're white hot with prayer, when it's fervent, right, it's accomplishing a whole lot. And all of these things help us to take a stand against who? The adversary, the devil. That's what it's for. right? That's what it's for. That we put on the whole armor of God in verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. God's equipped us. He's made us completely, completely, completely complete. He's fully equipped us like a ship that's setting out for a voyage. We have everything that we need. And this armor is the way that we take a stand against the adversary. Right? So verse 10 again, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, right? In the strength of his ability. So let's put on that armor. Let's take those keys that each of these pieces represent and make sure that that's what we're putting on every day, right? Just like we put on our clothes, that we're putting on these things in our lives to take a stand.